Okay, we're going to read 3 and 4, page 45. My body and the life in it are fleeting as the bubbles, the sea froth of a wave. Bless me first thus to recall, as it will destroy me soon. And help me find sure knowledge that after I have died, the things I have done, the why and that, what these deeds will bring to me, follow always close behind, as certain as my shadow. Grant me then ever to be careful, to stop the slightest wrong of many wrongs we do, and try to carry out instead each and every good of the many that we may. So we had that gross room where you're looking out the window at all the wrecked up stuff, okay? And outside, that's a corridor, right? And then right before that, it's going to be a triangular room, okay? This is the smallest room. And this represents the Lamgi Rimbas, the steps of the path for which are shared with people of lower motivation, the least capacity, okay? And all their stuff, which is three different Lamgi Rimbas, are contained in one room. Okay, so that's going to be smaller than the mirror room, which is smaller than the hexagonal room. And there'll be a door between the corridor that you just got done with and this small triangular room. Okay, so this is like the lowest motivation. These are people of lesser motivation, which we share their motivation and we expand upon it. Okay, so as you come in from the outside, right, I'm talking from the other side of the room, okay, away from the corridor, okay, is the point of the triangle, like that. So the corridor we've just been in will be the coming off of the flat part of the triangle, and you'll be walking into the room, ultimately, when you go through the steps in forward order, loop jung, at the tip of the triangle, okay, so there's a door there. So you got to imagine yourself coming into the triangle from the tip. There'll be something at each point on the triangle, and then you'll be going out into the corridor we just came in, where we just were, from the flat part of the triangle. Okay? From the side. Got it? Is that all right? Okay. If you're going lung do, backwards, from the center of the courtyard out to the outside, you'll be walking into the triangular room from a flat side, from the middle of a flat side. And if you look across, you'll see a point of a triangle. Okay, if you're coming in, which you should practice doing, okay, lung jung wei, forward order of the steps of the path, you'll be coming in through a point of the triangle. Okay, yeah.
The corridor of the beautiful gompa is there's two distinct kinds of visualization, and one is a corridor with glass. You're looking at observing all of the things that are rotting.
Yeah.
And then there's the meditation.
Yeah, which is really just an extension of that. You see,
it's an extension of that.
If you have time, do the Midupa Gomba, which will include all your friends and family, okay, and everything you like, including your body and everything else. But if you don't have time, I'd say choose two or three things that you think are all right with samsara, and prove to yourself you're wrong, okay, just by watching them get old. You know what I mean? And that's all. Because when somebody says everything is suffering, every American mind tends to say, oh yeah, you're right, except, you know. And so that's the triangle. The corridor with the glass frames is here. And here's a door that we haven't got to yet. Okay, and that's leading out. So this way is the inner courtyard, and that way is the outside. Okay, so we're going to talk about three areas, here, here, and here. Okay.
And those are the windows that we just came from, right?
This is the window corridor here. Okay. All right? And there's a door here, which separates what from what?
Yeah.
Smaller scope and medium scope. Okay.
You said that the red separated Tantra from Mahayana.
Yeah.
From open teaching.
Yeah.
Are there...
colors to the doors?
Yeah.
Somebody asked me that. I don't have any opinion, actually. How do you want to do it? You know, I like red for Tantra personally, but
you need three colors, right?
Yeah. Blue.
How about blue bodhisattva?
Blue bodhisattva.
Going into the bodhisattva room, separating the medium from high, and then what from high to low? Yellow for wimpy. Okay, caution. All right. Okay, here's the three things in this room. First thing, if you're coming in from the outside, okay, from the point, the first thing you'll see is a. You ever been to a funeral and you had a viewing and there's this nice box with a glass over it, and so you're gonna come down and sit next to this coffin and look down and it's gonna be you, okay, and that's gonna be a death meditation. So at that point you should do a death meditation. That's a long story. There's a brief. I believe there's a brief one in this book in the notes. Okay, there's a brief one by Pabongkor Rinpoche. It should have 9 different points. If you have time, sit there and do a good death meditation. Okay. If you want to, there's a death meditation course in North Carolina 2 weeks from now or something. I think it's pretty much booked up, but if you call and complain that you have to get in, they might move it. I think the problem is they don't have a bigger space right now. But if you call, maybe if enough people call, we can. They'll move it. Anyway. So... you do a death meditation. Death meditation, you know, there's all these Tibetan Book of the Deads flying around, and some of them are good, some of them are mixed up, and some of them are flatly wrong. And you have to be able to distinguish between them. Study this death meditation. It's from Jetsun Kapa. The book that we have, the book that we'll be using in North Carolina, is a direct translation of Jetsun Kapa's death meditation. And... it's done and it's nice and you can use it. The main thing is only this. When we visualize it in the next 10 minutes or so, all you have to do is look down at that corpse and say, did he or she do all the things she wanted to do? Okay? Because death meditation is not about... this death meditation is not the tantric one. This one is not about what kind of lights you're going to see or who's going to come up to you or blah, blah, nothing like that. This death meditation means on any given day, at any given hour of your life, are you doing the single most important thing that you should be doing? And that's all, okay? That's a successful meditation, death meditation. Like, are you prioritizing your life properly? You know, that's a real death meditation. You know, if you can sit here right now and say, if I was going to die tonight, this is what I'd want to be doing, then your death meditation is fine. And if you say some kind of hesitation, like there's a but, or there's something I'd still wanted to do tomorrow, or something like that, then you didn't get death meditation yet. So a real person who's good at death meditation is always on the cutting edge. They're always doing exactly the most extreme Buddhist thing they can to get themselves enlightened, because they're not waiting for tomorrow. You see what I mean? Because they don't believe in tomorrow. Okay? It's the idea that there is no tomorrow and got to do it now at all costs. Do it now. Okay? And don't get caught with your pants down by Lord Death, you know, and say, gee, I always thought I'd have another day to get to that other meditation, that, you know, that last room. You know, I always thought there'd be time later. Don't, you know, move as quickly as you can. Death meditation is for that, okay? Under the inspiration of the Lord of Death chasing you. And they sometimes say visualize him as this huge, oversized... what's the dog that kills kids in New York?
Pitbull,
you know, with huge fangs and, you know, rabies and HIV on the tip of his fangs, and he's like chasing you. And they say visualize him like that, and like voracious, you know, waiting for you, trying to get to your life. They call your life essence here, you know, just dying to get there, you know, and running after you, and then. And the point is not to get scared or something like that. They say a person who has good death meditation dies better than anybody. You see? And it's not because they've practiced the pain of dying. It's because they have a totally at peace. They did the best they could, you know? On that day and on every other day since they learned true death meditation, they junked all the unimportant stuff and they concentrated on the most important stuff. And they can die at peace. They can say, okay, maybe I'm not Vajrayogini yet, but I gave it my best shot. You know what I mean? I spent my time, I did the most important things with every hour of my day as if I was going to die that night. And I've been doing that there for the last 10 years, and I have no regrets about dying right now. You know, I'm sorry I didn't make it, but I did the best. You know, I have no doubt that I did the most advanced things that I could do given my level, you know, and I have no doubts about it. I didn't have any questions about what was the most important thing to do in my life. And I acted that way every single day, as if I was going to die that night. And that's when your death meditation is perfected. So you don't have to, you know, try to get that in mind when you look down at the corpse. Say, you know, just look down and say, did this poor guy do the, did he die doing the most important thing he could have done? Maybe he didn't make it to tantric paradise in his life, but he certainly was doing the most important thing he could have at that moment, okay, when he died, okay. Second meditation, go off to the left hand, this one here. Remember you came in, well, you're going to be coming in here, right? Then you go up to this one, okay, go to the left one first. Left as facing the courtyard, okay, from the outside. Okay, so you're going to be going up to this one next, over here. As you look down in this under the glass, there's see all these ugly worms and scorpions and spiders and centipedes, and these are your bad deeds, okay? And then on the other side, all these jewels and diamonds and rubies and sapphires, and these are your good deeds.
In the coffin,
yeah.
And so
there's
three coffins?
No, there's one coffin. You're laying there, and over here all these ugly things. Over here all these beautiful things. And you've got to get rid of them, okay? We mean, you don't want to go on with this baggage, okay? Especially the bad ones, okay? So the idea is purification. The next step is the teachings on karma. This is the next Lam Rim, okay? After death meditation, you do the four steps of karma. You think about karma. Okay, and this is the lesser motivation person's next practice, is karma. Thinking about karma. I don't want to die with those things with me. Okay? I want to die without those things. All right? And so you go up to the next station. Yeah?
There's still one on your left?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that one coffin? Or
one coffin.
Where's the coffin?
One you. They're at the tip of there. Coffin's right here, as you go in from the outside.
Right.
Then you move up to the left. Oh, no, the bad stuff is here.
Oh,
you're
going
to take it with you up to here. And you're going to get rid of it, okay?
Oh.
It's not that you take the coffin. That's a real hassle. You need four guys. All right? You're taking, open up the glass, take out these ugly things, run over to this one, okay?
Is that the kind of bad stuff?
And up here there's a fire. Okay.
In space.
A fire up here in this place.
So everything's loaded in the front, and you're just moving to different places.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, you're taking the ugly stuff out of the coffin, and you're going to burn it over here.
Is the ugly stuff on the downside of the body?
The I see it right here next to my face, and it's like really gross, and I want to get it out. You know. And you take it over. You run over here, and this is where you do your purification. Okay. Those of you who are in Washington. You know, this is where you do a fire, okay? This is a special fire that you use to get rid of your bad deeds. And Elizabeth's an expert at it. And if you want to know how to do it, talk to her during the break or in the afternoon, okay? But it's a little fire that you can do at home. You can do it in your living room because you do it with ghee, with clarified butter. And you use these special... This is a Kedup Jay practice. This is one of Jetson Kapa's main students. And you take your bad deeds in the form of some kind of mustard seed, which is traditional, or sesame, and you black sesame, and you put it in a can a certain way. You can use I've even used a Twinings tea can, but you can also use a diamond cookie tin from Puerto Rico. Anyone, you can use either one. And then you pour in the ghee on top of these... bad deeds, which are normally you use mustard or black sesame or something, and then you light it. In this visualization, it's like a permanent, you know, eternal flame fire over there, and you're just throwing in these ugly creatures, okay? But if it's good if someday you do it really, like once a week, it's fun to do, and it's very, very beautiful. You get the can out. It can be at night. I used to go out on a beach and do it. Nobody's around, you know, put the can there, put in the bad deeds, which are represented by seeds. Yeah.
And more than one person.
Yeah, sure. and get some ghee, dump it in there, light it, and then I write down my worst bad deeds on a piece of paper, and I fold it up, and I sit there, and I look at the fire, and it's very peaceful. It's very nice. We did one in Mongolia for the Mongolian people. It was really beautiful. We did it up on a big stage, and they were all watching, and they figured out how to do it, and it was fun. And we couldn't put it out. But anyway, then you just, when you're ready mentally, you go through the four forces of purification, okay? You go through them mentally. And then you just throw the paper in there and you watch it burn. And then you sit there and you think for an hour or half an hour until it burns out. And it's very, very peaceful. It's very fulfilling. It's very nice to sit there and it's very quiet and the fire is sort of cheery. And don't have to bring marshmallows or anything. And you just watch it. And it's very meditative. It helps you meditate. And you think about that bad deed and you think about it. You purify it with the four forces because you don't want to take it with you. That's the main thing. That's why it's in the same room with the corpse, okay, with the coffin. You don't want this in that coffin when you're going on. You want to get it out of your mind stream before you die, okay? Aside from the fact that it's multiplying every 24 hours exponentially, okay? You don't want it. You want to get rid of it as soon as possible, okay? So you... And if you've done a very bad deed, like an abortion or something like that, then you have to keep doing it for a while. You can't just do it once and think it's going to go away or something like that. You have to keep going at it for a while, okay? So you're going to take all those ugly creatures out. This is very traditional teaching. Usually it's called Duti Bebjan Mande. But you take all these ugly creatures and you go over and throw them in the fire. And then that guy is not going to move on with those creatures in his box, okay? That guy being you. But it's very important in this meditation, what's the small capacity person's motivation? What is their goal? They want to stay out of the three lower realms, you know? I say keep my rear end out of the three lower realms. If you want to accomplish that, you cannot die with this stuff on your heart, on your conscience. Your conscience must be free of those things. And since you don't know when you're going to die, you better get your box ready. You know, get one, do it now, you know, and start doing the four forces of purification, okay? Get the oral transmission from Elizabeth, and these guys had it in Washington. You feel comfortable to teach people that? Yeah, okay? They just had it in Washington. It's fresh, okay? And, you know, during the break, you can talk to them or something. But this is a method for wiping out old bad karma, okay?
What about the jewels?
We're getting there. Okay. They always sprinkle a sabuti in the audience. Okay. Now the jewels, the good deeds, you got to park them, okay? Go over to the last triangle, the last corner of the triangle. It should be this one over here. On the right as you face the courtyard. Okay. The third lam rim for people of lesser capacity is taking refuge. Okay. Taking refuge. So far you've had a death meditation, dealing with karma, thinking about the four principles of karma, and getting rid of your bad karma, okay? And now you're going to move over to the other corner and take refuge, which is the last thing, like, who can help me when the poop hits the fan? You know, who can I turn to when I need help, okay? Especially when I die, okay? And that's on the last corner there, and... Then you take all the jewels from the coffin, because these are your good deeds. These are protection. Okay, go over there, mix them up with this special robe. I said, what's that guy in the Bible? What's this? Got this robe, colored. Joseph's robe, yeah. Okay, so it's like this robe. It's got diamonds all over it. And this is protection. Okay, and you put it on. All right, and this is protection. This is taking refuge. Now, what is taking refuge? We talked about it the other night, but an act of taking refuge, is it to, you know, bow down in front of a picture and say, please picture, please help me? Does it mean, Lord Buddha, come and save me from my bad karma? You know, I've been a bad boy, you have the power, come and cancel my bad karma for me. Can't do it. Even Lord Buddha can't do it. If he could, what? We wouldn't be here. Okay? Very, very simple. the proof for the non-existence of a supreme compassionate being is me. And they, period. Okay, I wouldn't be here getting old if they could have done anything about it. And they can't. There's no such thing. I prove it. No such thing. Unless they're sadistic or something, okay? Which they're not. So they can't do that. Buddha cannot take away your bad karma. Buddha cannot cancel your bad... Buddha cannot cut you some slack. Karma is relentless, ruthless, total ecology. Karma works like gravity. You might as well ask the planet not to pull, you know, these things down. Please don't pull them down. You know. It's just a law of the universe. The planet can't cut you any slack. You know, it doesn't work that way. Karma is the same thing. So who can give you refuge? Who can? What's the coat represent? The robe. To doing an act of refuge. What's an act of refuge? Very simple. We talked about it a million times. I still didn't get it. Personally. Boss comes in, yells at you. You're looking at the boss. You understand that this boss has been created by your bad karma. And then at that moment, you do an act of refuge, which means I choose to break the cycle of life at this moment. I refuse to yell back. I refuse to get angry. Okay? And that's an act of refuge in the universe that can protect you. Okay? Wisdom. Okay? And if you want, you know, the details... He's empty. You're seeing an ugly boss because you have the bad karma to project that. His wife thinks he's wonderful. The guy in the room next to you that's hearing him yell at you who doesn't like you thinks he's wonderful. He's empty. He's blank. He's neutral. And if you see something unpleasant, it's only because an understanding of emptiness and karma. That's all the three jewels are. Okay? You just took refuge in the three jewels. Okay? It doesn't involve bowing down to a statue or a painting or praying that somebody will help you who can help you. It's that action at that moment with understanding of emptiness and karma that is the only thing that can protect you. Okay? So when you go to the third triangle, third point of the triangle, think about it. And then all day long you can do acts of refuge. You don't have, if you want to fulfill your commitment to take refuge all day long, six times or something, just think of people who irritate you and take an act of refuge, you know. That's real refuge. That's the only thing that can protect you, okay? So when you put the coat on, think about it. You know, don't think, oh, Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sangha, okay? Well, it can't help you. The essence of the three jewels is an understanding of emptiness and karma. Why? Buddha jewel is the Dharmakaya of the Buddha, ultimate emptiness. Dharma jewel is the direct perception of emptiness. And reading about it and studying it and doing it. Sangha jewel is all the Aryas who have ever seen emptiness directly before. Okay? Is there some kind of pattern here? Theme? Emptiness, okay? And karma. And that's the only thing that can protect you. Okay? Buddha Dharma Sangha is not the same as Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, Sangha jewel. Okay? The jewel is the understanding of emptiness and karma. And that's the one that protects you. So now you got in this room. This room is complete now. You have all the Lamgya Rinpas of a person of smaller scope. By the way, some Lam Rims shift some of them into the medium scope. Don't worry about it. Okay? This is the way this Lam Rim does it. Okay? You go in, you do a death meditation. And the essence of that is, let me die, or I shouldn't say that. Today, am I doing the thing which I would choose to do if I knew I was going to die this afternoon? Is this what I would be doing if I knew it was for sure I was going to die this afternoon? You know, is my practice cranked up to the level that I'm at my breaking point almost? You see, I'm at the most advanced thing I could be doing at this particular moment within my capacity. You know, I have truly pushed myself to the point where I know if I died this afternoon, at least I could say I tried. You know, I did my very best, okay? Then you take all the grungy things out of the under the glass, run over to the fire, throw them in, think about a few of the worst things you've ever done, and watch them burn. Because I don't want to carry that with me. Okay? I want my conscience to be clean when I die. Okay? The whole thing about purification doesn't work unless you get specific, you know? I had students who come up to me, and in their book, all that's written is, I'm a bad person, you know? That may be true, but that's not what we're interested in. Purification involves... isolating the major bad events, karmas that you have, and wiping them out very distinctly. You know, on April 3rd, 1985, 4 o'clock, this thing happened, and I'm burning this up. Okay, yeah.
So next time I come to do the death meditation,
yeah,
do I take these same ugly deeds and burn them again?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or do I finally get rid of all these?
Yeah. If they're big ones, like killing someone, something like that, and I think, again, in our culture, it's something like abortion is very common, or things that you didn't realize were wrong at the time, you know. Those take time. We asked a lama in Sarah, we asked one of the high lamas there, and, you know, can you just do one fire and it's canceled? And he said, no. It's like wearing away at a rock with a claw. And he said, you have to keep doing it over. So for the major ones, you should bring them up once a week or something. And then the minor ones, you know, like you yelled at somebody yesterday. Those you can do once. Okay.
But then you still have full faith as you cast it into the fire that it is the...
Oh, very important to think, I'm out, I'm clean. You know, yeah, and when you do really die, this whole Catholic thing of having a priest there to absolve you is very Buddhist. That's very Buddhist. It's very important to die thinking, yeah, I did my fire thing yesterday. I don't have a thing left. It's very important as you die to believe that. Okay, yeah.
Could you just not absolve everything in one go at that moment?
I think you could visualize it that way, but in practice the lamas say the heavy ones you should do it frequently. Okay, until you get some signs of purification. Okay. Which are, what are the signs of purification? Some kind of disaster happening to you, okay? Seriously. Diamond Cutter said so, right? And then a feeling that it's gone, you know, like a feeling clean and happy, your dreams change. Your attitude changes, your life changes, everything feels better, you know? Okay, those are the two good signs. Okay, third corner, then we're going to go into the third corner and put on the robe, and think of at least one act of refuge, an act of refuge, okay? Cancel the old idea that came from your childhood of throwing yourself before an altar and saying, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sangha, you know, forget it. Those pieces of paper can't do anything for you. Take a real act of refuge, okay? Next time this person comes up to me and says that stuff, I'm going to protect myself. I got this special coat now. And I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to break the cycle by refusing to respond. Does that mean you have to be a wimp your whole life? No. It empowers you to respond with power without anger. Okay? Like, if you see someone hurting someone, you're required to step in and take action, but not with anger. Okay? Not allowed to have anger. And that's the difference. Okay? So, until you can do it without anger, you have to be a wimp. And as soon as you can do it without anger, you have to be a Spider-Man or something. Okay? Alright? Okay. So, we're gonna go into that room.